The Warkworth case relates to the Warkworth coal mine in the Hunter Valley in New South Wales. It's been operating for about 20 years by Rio Tinto and had permission to keep operating out until about 2030. Applied a couple of years ago to expand towards the small town of Bulga, and that was going to have various impacts on the town and the local environment, and the local residents decided that they weren't all that happy with that. After it was approved by New South Wales Planning, they took their objections to the Land and Environment Court, where we eventually won. And I was one of the economists that they called to give evidence on their behalf relating to the economics of the project.
All right, so what sort of evidence did you give? Because I understand it's about economic modelling, isn't it?
So most mining projects in New South Wales have to do a bit of economic assessment. My evidence and that of my colleague, we looked at some of these estimates of jobs and revenue and overall net benefit. Our conclusions were that the benefits of the project had been wildly overstated from the start, and that the mines economists in court continued to try to overstate those benefits. And at the same time tended to understate the costs of the project, and we argued that they weren't properly incorporated into the economic assessment. And so I guess the headline example was their claim that the project would create 45,000 jobs. And you've got to remember that there's only about 20,000 people in Singleton, which is the larger town closest to the mine. So this was a pretty big claim. The project itself only employs about 1,000 people. And it was those sorts of claims and the modelling behind them that we really took to task in our submissions and in court. And we're very happy that first Judge Preston agreed with us in the Land and Environment Court, and his decision has recently been upheld by the New South Wales Supreme Court. But this sort of exaggeration, you know, I'll say it, this sort of lie, is routinely used by major project proponents to justify projects, and it's that sort of modelling, it's not held up to adequate scrutiny, and we think as economists that that's a problem.
Yes, because I had a look at a couple of the words that were applied to the economic modelling, and one word was biased, and the other word was abused. That's pretty strong words, aren't they?
They are pretty strong words, and those words have come from the Australian Bureau of Statistics and the Productivity Commission. So they're organisations that are usually fairly careful with strong words. But the type of modelling in question makes some really pretty big assumptions. As the ABS describes it, it takes no account of what they call capacity constraints.
So how significant, then, is this decision by the Supreme Court?
I think the decision by the Supreme Court is very significant in backing the Land and Environment Court and its ability to assess the merits of projects, to really place the public interest, impacts on environment, small communities, and the benefits of projects as well, for those to be scrutinised by the judiciary, which contradicts the position of the New South Wales Planning Department.
So I understand that Rio Tinto claimed that if it didn't get this 2% increase in mining area, it would sack 100% of its workforce, which I presume is around 1,000 people.
Yeah, so what you're talking about now is in the wake of the Land and Environment Court's judgment. So after our evidence, after the whole court case, the Land and Environment Court came down and said, no, we're revoking the approval of this mine. You cannot expand to the west near the town of Bulga. Rio Tinto were obviously very unhappy with that, and so were the New South Wales government and their government departments, which had, of course, approved the original assessment. So they'd all been called wrong and inadequate by the Land and Environment Court. Rio and the New South Wales government appealed that decision to the Supreme Court, as we've just discussed, but not happy with just appealing the decision, the New South Wales government changed some legislation to enable Rio Tinto to reapply. So initially, at the end of last year, they put in an application for a smaller expansion that was rushed through. And in that planning process, even though the New South Wales government changes were meant to place emphasis on the economics of project, and in the hearings for the extension application, Rio Tinto put up absolutely no economic assessment at all. They sent their head of coal to the hearing, and he stood there and said, if we don't get this, our entire workforce is at risk. I stood there as an economist saying, I don't understand why such a small expansion of a large existing project with approval out to 2030, I don't understand why a 2% expansion is a threat to 100% of the workforce. And the New South Wales Planning and Assessment Commission acknowledged that there was no assessment to this. They acknowledged they had no way of verifying Rio Tinto's claims, but they approved it anyway. I'm not right up to the minute on this, but I suspect that smaller expansion will go ahead, and Rio have said all along that they're planning to resubmit the entire project. But with the Supreme Court upholding the Land and Environment Court's decision, it's to some extent back to square one for everyone, and I know that the good people of Bulga are already getting ready for the next battle.
Just incidentally, how big is the town of Bulga?
I don't think it makes it to 1,000.
Right. So that's this 2% expansion, that is in a different direction now?
No, it's towards Bulga. But might not consume all of the ridge between the village and the mine, which has been really a big part of the fight, because Rio Tinto made an agreement with the New South Wales state government that they would never mine the ridge, and they then decided actually no, they would, they did want to mine it. There's an attitude out there that, oh, we have to have these big coal mines to pay for our state government. And that really needs to be put under the microscope. And coal royalties account for about 2% of New South Wales government revenue. One thing that was really put under the microscope in the Warkworth case was how much was this project worth in dollar terms, not in jobs. And the initial assessment said, oh, $2 billion in community benefits. However, suddenly, you know, I don't think it's a crime to mislead bureaucrats and politicians, but lying to a judge is a different matter. So suddenly in front of a judge, Rio Tinto's economists did a little bit more homework, and suddenly those benefits, you know, made it down to a couple of $100 million.
Right.
Because almost all the profits go overseas. So the idea that we have to have a continually expanding coal industry to pay for our basic services is deeply flawed. In a more recent court case, again, suddenly the modelling changed in front of a judge.
That's really interesting.
The proponents of the Ashton mine in the Hunter Valley, their economists suddenly said, well, actually, yes, this is going to destroy a lot of local jobs. And suddenly the downstream or the indirect jobs totaled about 2 rather than thousands. I think once these numbers get put under serious assessment, suddenly they tend to evaporate. And I think it is important that rights to judicial review are maintained.
So is rights to judicial review safe, or are they under threat?
They've certainly been taken away largely in New South Wales. It's now very, very difficult to get a merits review, so a review of is the project a good idea, but it's certainly a lot harder to get a review of the costs and benefits of a project in front of a judge in New South Wales now. And actually, then the Queensland government is certainly looking at restricting who can legally object to a coal project. These rights are under attack at the moment, partly because people have been winning. We won on the Warkworth case, and EDO, the Environmental Defenders Office in Queensland, have similarly had another win, or certainly a very good result, just last week relating to Gina Rinehart's Alpha mine.
Well, it'll certainly be interesting to see how this pans out, isn't it?
I think it is very interesting to look at the Environmental Defenders Office and notice that they've been under absolute funding attack
Yes.
from federal and state governments. All I believe all funding, all government funding has been removed or is budgeted to be removed. But this is happening as they're winning. Governments aren't liking it. And I think that everyone who's interested in the environment and the law should be very concerned about that.
I get the impression they are, but it certainly looks like it's not going away.
I think you're absolutely right. I think what's happening in environmental politics in Australia is new and exciting, of large numbers of very local groups looking at local issues, but they're becoming very well linked.
Yes.
And there's a few interesting umbrella organisations like Lock the Gate who are suddenly joining the dots between a lot of locally concerned people to bring about a more powerful, wider movement. This is very much a grassroots thing, and it is largely rural-based. I think that has interesting political implications for rural candidates and certainly the Nationals. I do know there's a lot of people who are looking at Nationals candidates and independent candidates with a bit of a different view now, particularly with the Nationals' very strong pro-mining stance, which is to some extent to the against the interests of their largely rural constituents. I think the Nationals really need to take a bit of a look at this. Another thing that I really would like to get across, though, is while it is great that there are local people taking a really good look at local issues and getting involved, and I think, as I've said, it's exciting with its implications for politics in Australia, what we need to remember is it shouldn't fall to the Bulga Milbradale Progress Association and their pro bono economists from the Australia Institute to put these numbers under scrutiny. That's the job of the public service, and it's not being done. State planning departments are failing rural communities, perhaps the whole community, in their efforts to assess major projects and their impacts.